Hello everyone. My name is Shay. This is Yimika, and welcome to the first official episode of the Red Flags podcast. I'll let Yimika introduce himself, then I'll go.
Yeah, Yimika, Niger boy living in London town. Just passionate Arsenal fan. Love the Eagles too, and the Miami Heat. Those are my teams, as you can see in the background. Yeah, we'll just chop it up, talk a little bit more about sports. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about, or actually you explain a little bit more about the name of the podcast.
Yeah. So as you can see in my background, I'm a United fan, and you might be wondering what that Buffalo thing is there. I've taken a liking to the University of Colorado Buffaloes, coached by the one and only primetime Deion Sanders. Yeah, so those are my favorite teams at this point in time. So the name Red Flags the red flag itself is something from American football. Basically, when the refs make a decision and one of the coaches on the team's playing is not cool with the decision, he's allowed to challenge the decision, right, if he has a timeout available to him, right? And to signal this challenge, he has to like throw a red flag on the ground. A red flag, like, it's not literally like a flag, right, what you picture, but we have an interesting video basically from the legendary Bill Belichick, multiple time Super Bowl winner with the New England Patriots. So just have a quick look see at the video. Yeah, so he just threw the flag, basically. Yeah, so that's basically how the name came about. The podcast will really be us focusing on the sports that we watch, like American football, and basketball, right? The basketball season is currently out in the US. The NBA is out at the moment, so we won't really be talking much about that today, but subsequently as the show goes on, we'll have more thoughts to share on the goings on in the NBA. So let's just jump right into the results from the weekend in the Premier League. So it was a pretty regular weekend in the Premier League. Not too many big games, right? My team, sadly, Manchester United, did not manage to get the 3 points. Only God knows how that came about, really. This season, I'll say we've been a bit unlucky. We have the highest number of big chances missed in the league, and it's showing in our position on the table. But
guys are already throwing stats.
We'll keep the faith.
Sorry, I'm just going to give part of the concept of red flags, like we saw with Bill Belichick, is to challenge plays or calls or general opinions on things. So I'm challenging this Shay's take on Man U not converting big chances. I mean, definitely there were chances that they could have scored, but realistically, Crystal Palace had the bigger chances, and they were the ones that really should be feeling bad that they went out there with just 1 point. As we all know, Man U is going through a transitional period. They've done well in transfer window, got some reinforcement. But realistically, I still always say this all the time. Their style of play is not consistent. from week to week. We don't know what they're trying to accomplish. We just know that they are hopeful that they win 3 points because they are Manchester United. But I mean, not to really throw shade or anything like that. It's like their style, they played okay. It was a good game, competitive game on both sides. But I don't really see it as they dropped 2 points. I really see it as, you know, Onana made some crazy stops. He was being hailed as one of like the best players of the game. So you really can't be saying that you missed big chances where your keeper was basically the best player on your team. Like, it doesn't work that way. But it's okay. You have to still back your team. So I understand the sentiment.
I mean, it's always open for discussion. Like, we would like to hear other people's thoughts as well on the game, right? So, in other results, Chelsea are continuing their decent start to the season. Jadon Sancho, another assist. I won't say more than that. Fulham beat Newcastle, which was kind of a surprise to me. Liverpool back to winning ways after their blip against Nottingham Forest, but the jury is still out on Arne Slot and how well he will steady the ship after the exit of Jurgen Klopp. And now I think this is a good time to...
No, but I was going to say some things on the Chelsea game, because the Chelsea game was good on the perspective of, obviously, Jackson, who has been getting a lot of criticism. 2 goals, 1 really good finish, and an assist. Big, big moment for him. And obviously, I have to shout out the Arsenal boys.
That criticism, by the way, like, it's just Mikel Obi, bro.
I mean, realistic, okay, yeah, but at the same time, like, he's definitely been, Chelsea supporters have been looked at this transfer window where they didn't get Osimhen, as they haven't done what was required for them to really compete on the top level, and he's proving that maybe that's not the case. Like, he might be their guy, and they got him for a pretty affordable price. But yeah, also wanted to shout out my Arsenal boys, ex and on loan. Goal, both goals, Reece Nelson and Smith Rowe for Fulham. So even our castaways, they can still perform elsewhere, outside of the team. But yeah,
we don't mean it.
Liverpool is Liverpool, like, whatever. We move on to the real game, the real big game.
Yes, sir.
Lots of controversy.
The game of the week. The game of the week all over the world. In football, Manchester City 2, Arsenal 2. Yimika, I yield the floor to you.
You're saying it like as if I have a case to bring forward. I mean, the whole thing is, well,
talk fast.
The takes are well noted. I mean, we have the main man of the game. Not wearing a blue or red jersey, the most influential player of the whole 90 minutes.
Michael Oliver. Let's call his name.
I don't even remember all these Premier League names, because all of them just are some shy. They just want to be main characters. They all have main character syndrome. My whole thing, and we'll start with the how the game flowed. Obviously, Man City came out guns blazing. Haaland with a nice finish. To be honest, when the game started, I was very shocked that Ben White was on the bench. Calafiori starting in like a big game like this. Yeah. And to be honest, that first goal was a lot of his problems, or him overcommitting from...
Salvinho left him for dead.
Exactly. Salvinho left him for dead. Ran through the middle. Gabriel had to pull up to sort of come and challenge him, and that left a gaping hole between the twin towers, that is the Arsenal defense. Haaland was able to use his pace, crazy finish, toe poke, and I mean, obviously there was nothing we could do from there. I was livid to start. I was feeling very disappointed that the game was going to just run amok, but you know, things happen. Again, main character syndrome appeared. We're 15 minutes into this game, and Baba wants to have one-on-one with captains. I don't get it. I don't know what he's all about. He could have walked closer to them, but again, main character syndrome. He's standing in the middle of the pitch and he's telling everybody to come to him.
I mean, honestly, on that, like, I kind of understand where, like, the City outrage is coming from about, oh, they weren't set and everything. But at the end of the day, right, those things are discretionary, right? Like, you can't expect the game to stop for you. If the ref says he's okay, right, to let the game continue because he doesn't think he's giving Arsenal an unfair advantage, it's his decision, right, at the end of the day.
So again, I completely agree with that because realistically, when you look at what happened next, Kyle Walker gets there before Martinelli does anything. Silvinho, who is the winger on that same side, gets there before Martinelli is able to cut back. They are just shocked that a left back was able to come up with such a beautiful finish. And their keeper still had a role to play in this. So again, I just think it's absolutely ridiculous to think that is the reason why Arsenal scored. The strike was pure. The strike was well deserved, and it had nothing to do with him sort of being out of position. I just think that's just ridiculous.
Okay.
Obviously, we showcased that. We highlighted that we were dangerous on the corner with Man City deciding to let Silvinho mark Gabriel.
I mean, he already gave you guys he already gave City a warning, the free header that he missed before his goal, right?
It was
on his goal. I really don't know what Kyle Walker was doing. I don't know if you saw when he was like poking.
Yeah, that's just like the bant on social media. Because it was like he was trying to obviously showcase that he was giving contact to Gabriel, like he knew where he is.
Yeah, like but I see
that's
you,
not
bro.
The role that Gabriel is trying
bro,
to do.
But like, defend, Gabriel pushed
Romero, who is like maybe twice as strong as Kyle Walker, while he was there. So Kyle Walker doing little taps was just obviously poor defending. Like you need to step back and be able to sort of make contact with him before he's able to run. I'm sorry. I'm not a center back. I'm not a full back. All I just know is what all these pundits were saying, and it makes logical sense. Anyhow, 2-1. Arsenal is living in ecstasy. We're looking forward to just closing the half on a high.
Yeah.
Obviously, our main character had to showcase that he made a mistake from the previous first equalizer. And decides that he's going to banish a red card to Trossard because he kicked the ball away. Okay, I'm not disagreeing that the ball was kicked away. Okay, I'm not disagreeing that it was a foul. But when Doku was doing exactly the same thing, not more than 20 minutes earlier to that moment, Baba did not hesitate. And like typical Premier League manner, everybody's jumping in to sort of change the narrative and explain everything away. If there's a rule, apply the rule across board. Let it not be like, don't need to interpret situation for situation. It should just apply. Whether you are kicking the ball to help Arsenal or whether you are kicking it away from Arsenal, the rule says do not interfere with the ball when you are trying to play on restart. So if somebody kicks the ball, it's a yellow card. It cannot be now. It's only when Arsenal kicks the ball is a yellow card. Because this is the second game we have had a red card on. And it's still this discretionary situation.
Yes, this season.
We have played five games.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this season, yes. Like, it's crazy that you guys have had the same thing happen to you in two different games out of five, right? Yes, I agree. 100%, I agree. But my guy that is an Arsenal fan told me that I have to bring it up, right? So I will say it, and I'm not going to mince words. Like this is just my take on the thing, right? It's okay for anyone to disagree, right? But I don't think Doku's kicking the ball can be equated to how Trossard kicked the ball away, right? Because the ball was supposed to go back. Fine, Doku did not kick the ball to Declan Rice because Declan Rice was standing at the spot where the free kick was supposed to be taken. But if you looked at that whole like situation, Doku actually ended up playing the ball to an Arsenal player. It's not like he kicked it away. He played the ball to an Arsenal player, right? But he didn't play it to Rice. He played it to, I think it was Saliba who was at the back, right? I'm not sure who he was, but there was another Arsenal player there, and he kicked it in that direction, right? It's the same way if I see, like, for example, when Timber grabbed the keeper's jersey, Spurs, I can't remember the guy's name, right? Anytime I see a player making that kind of contact, in my head is like, yo, is he not pressing his neck? Why is that one not a red card? Because they gave Casemiro that red card that year against Crystal Palace, right? I get why Arsenal fans feel aggrieved and everything, but I don't think there was anything that could have been done that could have been done to avoid that red, other than Trossard not doing what he did at that point in time. Because you're on a yellow, my guy.
I started by saying.
Oh no, like, because I know you pointed it out. I'm saying my own on it, right? Because this guy asked me to say it, so I'm saying it, and I know he's going to listen, right? So main beef is Michael Oliver himself. And yes, that is why he is on this graphic that everyone is seeing, right? I do not believe Michael Oliver should be reffing City games. I don't believe he should be reffing United games. Because Michael Oliver is a known Newcastle fan. One. Two. In 2023, just last year, Michael Oliver reffed a game in the United Arab Emirates, and he was paid by the current owners of Manchester City. I am sorry, but if that is not a conflict of interest, I don't know what is. I know he's a professional. We are not saying he's cheating, but if any such thing happens, that situation is always going to be brought up. So I see no reason why he should keep reffing these games. People say he's the best ref in England. Okay. He is the best among a bunch that I simply do not trust. I don't trust officiating in general in the English Premier League. Like, and if this is the best you have to offer, is it?
So you're bringing up a lot of points that I wanted to even talk through, and I mean, we weren't intending to cover this, but I just felt like it was very like interesting stuff.
It's very important. Like, I think everybody has to know, and like, I don't know why the mainstream isn't saying it, but I think it needs to be brought up. Like, why is this guy constantly reffing City in these games, and we keep seeing these decisions? Like, it's the same way everyone is always complaining about KC and the black and whites, right? Yes, a whole other sport, but I see it as the same thing. Like, too many times is more than coincidence.
So that's what I was trying to get at here. I think there's a lot of correlation between the Premier League as a business and the drama behind the games. So I also watched Inter Milan versus Milan, their derby in Italy.
Yep.
It hasn't been any as much headlines within the sort of news outlets that I've covered this past weekend games. And the simple fact about no, this is still part of the Arsenal one. And the main reason behind that was that game was just a clean footballing experience. Two rivals who were competing, playing football on the pitch, not with the
Simple.
ref, not with the within the media, not because of VAR, not because of drama. Two beautiful games, and that Inter team was the team that we'll get to dominated Man City in the Champions League. They lost. So the competitiveness of the Italian league is based on just a very free-flowing culture of football. And it's so funny that they have a lot of English players over there. Guys were getting tackled, they were getting back on their feet, not rolling around and doing ref yellow card and all these situations. I think players come to the Premier League, they realize that it requires a lot of drama and
Yeah, they
theatrics
see the culture and there's just wrong with it, I guess.
just for you to be able to get a call and for you to influence referees and things like that. And my point is that the referees play too much of a role. Calafiori, in his exit, in his interview at the end of the game, just made a very simple comment. He says, where he's from, like, the refs are not really part of the game. The refs are just there. And in this one, he felt like the ref was trying to make himself relevant in the game. I just think that is just a bad. It's bad for the football league. Like,
It's
Premier
crazy.
League as a business and a brand is booming because, again, after this game, there are so many talking points. We have Roy Keane making hot takes about saying that Arteta shouldn't be talking about the issues with the other team. He should come in and own up that his boy was the one that made a dumb decision. How can he do that if they're still, like you explained, Michael Oliver, who is conflicted coaching? Like, he can't say all of this because, again, he's calling out the Premier League culture. But we just need to understand that as a business, there are a lot of like incentives for this whole city to win five back-to-back Premier Leagues. City is also
Yeah.
going under a trial right now.
No one's talking about it.
We know at the end of that trial, whatever farcical trial that thing is Shah just going to be Prem collecting money? That's what this league is all about.
Man,
They
City
will get.
fans listening, I'm sorry. I need City to be I need City playing in League One, man.
No, it's a
I need them
fact,
playing in
bro.
League One.
City will just
Come
play
on.
hot money, and it's not really. They will still figure out how to loop around it. It won't be City PL because that same season, City will still go and sign crazy play people for crazy money. All I'm just trying to say is that they've come in, they've known how to rig this game. Like, the UK runs on golf money, not just even the Premier League. Like, we don't get into the banks and everything, but bro, the point I'm just trying to make is very simple. The refereeing needs to take out of the Prem. The Prem became a true love brand because of the quality of football that was played, the attacking mindset, the very much like combative nature. If you look at Italy right now, they are the ones that are actually dominating. That's why they are the ones that have the six Champions League spots. They are dominating in their style of play and in their influence of soccer. But again, I don't want to go on for this too long. I can spend another hour just explaining this point. Yeah, it's crazy.
So I guess I don't know if you saw the video that came out of where Haaland was tapping Arteta and saying be humble. I don't know. People said that was
Okay.
disrespectful. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to talk too much about it, but like I
But let me ask you another
what do you
question,
think?
Shane.
What do you think?
No, let me ask you a question. Inter played Milan. That rivalry is 10 times more deeper than Arsenal and Man City.
Yeah, but
Were there cameras on the field after the game? Or did the game just finish? That is the drama that the Premier League feeds off. That's what Sky Sport needs to have segments over and bring in ex players to come and do commentary about. Like, that's what I'm trying to say needs to get cut out of the game. Like, all this non-footballing commentary, we need it out. We need to comment about how players are playing and the
yeah,
styles of
but
playing.
if you if
It's
you if you
interesting.
if
It's
you if
interesting.
you if
It's
you pay at if
interesting.
you pay attention, right? Even like you do realize that everyone is sort of Americanizing their leagues. right? Like, I don't even think the Premier League is as bad as La Liga in terms of like the whole like behind the scenes of the pitch coverage, right? Of the things that happen. Like, so I wouldn't say like I'm a fan of it, right? But it's a part of the game that everyone just kind of has to accept at this point, because with the amount of money coming in, like, you can't avoid it, right? Like,
again, I'm not disagreeing with you having content and cameras and things like that. Like, I don't just watch the game, I watch the commentaries by the commentators, like the post-match reaction, the manager having his whole like explanation of how the game was and all of that. Like, I enjoy that perspective of, okay, this is what my coach saw, this is what he thought, and this is how he's feeling and that kind of thing. But again, I'm saying that we need to cut the content baiting element of what we do. And that content baiting is even going into the refereeing. Bro, Inter had a penalty, or Milan had a penalty claim in like the 80th minute. Tell me why the VAR solved all the drama within 2 minutes. From the moment of the ref blowing the whistle and saying penalty, 2 minutes later, it was understood that it was not a call.
Fair enough.
Do your job.
Fair enough. This is a good time to move to other results, notable results around Europe over the weekend. So maybe you can start with your Inter and AC, because you've mentioned it like 10 times.
Like, we've already talked through it, but high level, like, Milan won the game. They dominated in terms of, actually, they didn't dominate. What am I saying? It was an open play. Like, it was beautiful football end to end. Abraham was missing chances, but he was still balling. Rafael Leao wasn't really in the game, but I mean, it didn't matter.
That guy is a topic for another day.
Inter's midfield again, like, bro, like the tactics in Italy, like the way these guys set up their teams is actually a lot of what you're going to see like a year or two down in Prem. Like, what they do with their fullbacks, what they do with their midfielders, like midfielders would literally be coming in and becoming like the deep line playmaker from like the center back position. So like their center backs now split up. Like, it's just cool tactics where like you don't necessarily see a lot of this in the Prem. Like, the Prem is good in terms of its combative nature, but bro, like free flowing football, like beautiful football that you want to actually watch and you're engaged in. Like, that was a game where it was like, yeah, this is really what's up. And again, beautiful header from the Milan defender to get the winner. Beautiful goal from their fullback. Like, everybody just getting involved in the game. Like, it's just you have your obvious threat, but it's not just them that are involved. Everybody's sort of in the mix. So good results. Also saw Real Madrid won their thing. 3 goals in the second half.
What do you think about Endrick, bro? What do you think about Endrick,
bro? Let's just cool the water for now. Let's see how it is. He's definitely starting off good. He's definitely starting off good.
Bro, but... like, I mean, he's no Yamal. Anyway, to what you said, right, about like things coming to Premier League over the next couple of years, like, I mean, some Ten Hag outers like hoping we can land what's his name, Thiago Motta, right? So, even though he just joined UV, but I mean, we'll see how that goes. I don't mind him. It seems like
the guy that I think is very underrated in Italy, people,
Inzaghi.
Yep.
Yeah.
That guy is a tactician and he's brave. Like, I've never seen someone more brave than he is. I mean, his bravery didn't really work out in terms of like some of the subs that he made, but he's not someone who's afraid of making a big call on a big game. And again, you see it with the way they set up their teams. Bro, like, I'm saying that I don't even know how to describe it. Like, that game just had, like, it was literally end to end. Like, you thought you were watching basketball on a football pitch. Like, everybody who watches football always complains about there's no action. It's just people passing in the midfield, like, from defense to attack.
That's Pep's fault, man. That's Pep's fault. Those people should blame Pep. Please, go and make him retire.
Bro,
we're tired of it.
The way those guys were playing, and to be honest, they played it in two different ways. Inter played a three in a back defense. So your Bastoni was sort of like playing as a full back, where he's really like a left center back. And AC Milan did it with two center backs, and they just let Fofana drop into the hole. That guy, Rainer, cold guy, bro. The guy from Holland, he's going to be the next like big time midfielder. Just watch and see. You said it. I said it first here on Red Flags. So anybody can call my flag if they want. Challenge it.
If you want, please drop a red flag. Drop a red flag in the comments, right? If you want to challenge anything we're saying. So yeah. So I guess
Bayern also won. Sorry.
For me, I think it's just Barca winning their game 5-1. Like, I just feel like people aren't talking enough about the beautiful ball that Hansi Flick has these Barca guys playing. And I don't know about you, but the next Clásico, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Like, I mean, like, Clásico hasn't been the same since, like, Ronaldo left, Messi left. Like, it hasn't been the same, right?
Bro, don't be overexcited,
bro. I am actually excited for this one. I'm not even going to lie.
It will end in deadly tears, bro. If you are rooting for Barca, like, it will end in deadly tears.
I'm not rooting for Barca. Like, I'm just like, I'm excited to see the game, right? Because I think both teams are in a good place now. Well, not great, but like good enough to make the game entertaining.
I strongly disagree. I think Barca has painted over a lot of the cracks, and they are relying on some young players to. Because come on, like, bro, are you really expecting Rafinha to continue playing at this level?
My brother.
Baba was even playing this nice when he was when he was in prep.
We will see the answer on the pitch. We will see the answer on the pitch,
bro. I'm saying like Real Madrid is on their basement right now.
Okay,
Real Madrid can get to level 3, 4, 5 if they decide to. So
no problem.
Yeah, they're just not yet on the same level. Yeah, midfield. Bro, sorry. But yeah, Olise balled out in Bayern. I think, was it 2 goals and 1 assist? Or 3 goals and 2 assists?
He be playing some nice stuff. Not gonna lie. Bayern really, like, struggled without signing. Like, for some reason, he was cheaper than the prices being touted when he was being linked to United. That's a story for another day.
United tax.
I think it's a good place to park football for a bit and move to football. Right. So, okay. Yeah. A bunch of games happened over the weekend, but I will start from Thursday night football, where the Jets played against the Jets hosted the New England Patriots, and I just want to point out that Aaron Rodgers at 40 is still Aaron Rodgers. Like, he was really good. Like, he controlled, like, he was in total control of the offense. Yes, the Patriots offensive line was hampered by injuries, and they could barely muster any offense. Like, it's a surprise they were even able to get 3 on the board. Like, I was literally thinking they were not going to be able to get anything, right? But yeah, Rodgers had 3 carries, by the way, for 18 yards. Like, yeah, he's a 40-year-old man running with the football on an NFL, like in the NFL. That is not an easy thing to do, but yeah, he's Aaron Rodgers. He's a bad guy, right? 27 for 35 passing, total 281 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no interception. He was sacked twice for a loss of 14 yards. All in all, pretty good game from him. Caleb Williams and the Bears.
I was about to say, like, one thing you said about Rodgers, him being a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
Not a boy. His coach tried to hug him, and he was like, chill out, bro.
So
He actually explained that
at the end of the game, right?
Yeah, he doesn't like hugging. He's not a contact person.
No. Not like, Robert Saleh is the coach of the New York Jets, by the way. So Robert Saleh had asked for 2 scores, right? Like, and Rodgers, like, after he scored, right? Like, after the Jets scored, Saleh tried to hug him and he's like, chill, bro. Like, you said 2 scores, right? There you go. Type. Like, that's basically like what he was trying to.
See. Yeah, that's what he's saying, but realistically, like, Rodgers doesn't like that
stuff. Yeah, but I mean, like, why would you go and hug
especially Rodgers, especially since this coach is just brand new, like, they don't have history.
Yeah, he's not there yet, bro. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers, like, multiple.
Like, I've been doing this stuff, but yeah. Again, I think he just has 1 Super Bowl ring.
Yes.
So that's part of my, and I won't even start with my red flags at this point, but Rodgers is great, but at the same time, like, greatly hyped.
Well, that's for another day, I guess. We'll table Aaron Rodgers matter in detail. Well, Caleb Williams and his Bears tried to muster up a comeback against the Colts, but I'll say with him, he'll get there, right? Let me not spend too much time talking about him. The Dolphins had Tua out for the first of 4 games with concussion and lost by 21 points against the Seahawks. The Lions beat the Cardinals 20-13. The 49ers lost again against the LA Rams. So I had thought Jordan Mason was going to be able to plug the gap that Christian McCaffrey is leaving in that offense, but I don't know. They just don't look the same.
That wasn't an offensive issue.
I know. Like, I know. But
come on, bro. It was like a 24-10 game at the fourth quarter, and they still came back and won. Like, that's all defense, like, bro.
They typically will be able to, like, get more points on the board with that guy in some of these games. But I don't know. Last night, the Chiefs beat the Atlanta Falcons 22-17. The game was actually not, like, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Right, it actually turned out to be a pretty decent game and a close game, but I guess, like, that's why the Chiefs have 2 rings in a row, right? And they're going for a 3-peat, like, just coming up close.
But that was purely like some bad coaching, because the first 4th down that they went for without kicking that field goal was definitely like a no-no.
Yes, obviously.
Like, the 4th down plays were very uninspiring, so
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what was it? It was like 4th down and 2, and like they just wrapped my guy up. Like,
no, it was a pitch, the pitch that they did to that, their Bijan Robinson. Like, again, you don't you don't run to away from where you're going to. Like, you just sort of do a power play, push the line, get a little bit closer. But, bro, like, realistically,
I don't know. Like,
it's the Chiefs.
That's why they still found the flag. I have to see that there was a PI call. There was a PI call on that first, the first one you talked about where they didn't keep the field goal, right, on fourth down. There was a PI on third down, right, in the end zone. Like, this guy did not make any contact with the ball. He made contact with the player before the ball got to the receiver in the end zone, right? I don't know if it was the safety. Well, whoever was defending him basically, like, made contact with him before he had possession of the ball. And, like, he wasn't even looking at the ball at all. So, like, I don't know why that pass interference was not called. But it's the Chiefs. We're used to it now, I guess.
Like I said, bro, flag will always be thrown.
We're used to it now. I guess we can talk about your Eagles and how they managed to muster up a hard-fought 15-12 victory over the New Orleans Saints. So I'll let you go first.
No, I mean, not much to talk. You might as well just start with the dragon, because there's not much.
No, okay, fine. So for all the Eagles fans out there, your boy Yimika did not believe that the Eagles could beat the Saints for reasons best known to him. But I felt the Saints were, I felt the Eagles came up against the Cowboys on a good day for
the Saints.
I felt the Saints came up against the Cowboys on a good day for the Saints, right? And got that 44-17 or was it 44-19 victory? Yeah, in week two. But I felt with, like, against a team that can defend the run better, like the Eagles, I felt the Saints were going to struggle. And lo and behold, right, both teams defended well, right? It wasn't very easy to get points on the board. And for me, it came down to who could defend the run better. And in our little graphic here, we have both star running backs for the individual teams, Saquon Barkley for the Eagles and Alvin Kamara for the Saints. Barkley had 17 carries for 147 rushing yards. Kamara just 87 yards from his 26 carries. Barkley ended the game with 2 touchdowns, no fumble. Alvin Kamara was nowhere to be found in the end zone.
Yeah, but again, you misunderstood my take about the Eagles not being able to win this game. Okay. It was less about...
Explain to us, gentlemen. It was less
about them not having a good enough team. It was more about the Eagles having struggles with their defense, which was an anomaly in this game, in the sense that, one, their pass rush was very effective. Jalen Carter was on point. Brandon Graham was on point. Mm-hmm. Davis was in the middle, stuffing up the run, like you said. And then their cornerbacks. They won the game based on, like, a pick at the end of the game from their safety. These guys have not necessarily been gelling. Maybe this is the spark that they needed to understand that, you know, they invested a lot in the first round, second round in terms of draft capital to get some reinforcements on the defensive back. So maybe it's working out. But realistically, my biggest concern from this game was Jalen Hurts. He's looking very timid in how he's throwing the ball, how he's running with the ball.
Bro.
And there's a lot of comment about it being like the coaching and the play calling. But realistically, Jalen Hurts was, one, always good at extending the plays. Now, he's not extending plays. He's almost elongating it, and he's putting himself in negative positions. But again, I don't want to comment too heavy because we're
I will. I'm just
waiting start for up. It to yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just waiting for it to finish. Right. So I'm glad you brought up Jalen Hurts, right? And for those listening, Jalen Hurts is the franchise QB one, the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, which makes him the star of the team, basically the key man, the leader of the offense, right, for the Eagles. And Yimika, at this point, is it safe to call Hurts a turnover machine?
No, because I would say that's the that's not the norm for him.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, Jalen Hurts has 26 turnovers from the start of last season, like from the start of 2023 to 2024 week three after the game, right? Jalen Hurts has 26 turnovers. That's the highest in the league, by the way.
Bro,
that's the highest in the league. I know it is highly uncharacteristic of him, right? Like in his entire NFL career, I think this is his fifth year or sixth year. How many years has he been?
I think this is just his fifth year.
This is just his fifth year, exactly. So between last year and just three games of this season, he has 26 turnovers, and in his entire NFL career, he has 51.
Again, I see how the stats sort of lean towards that, and I'm not going to argue against that. All I'm just here to explain is that when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, like Hurts was like what had like 12 turnovers that season overall, probably the lowest in the league. But the main thing that why that happened is because of the threat of him running. The threat of him running always opened up throwing lanes. Throwing lanes make it easy for you to find your big receivers like AJ Brown, find your speedster like Devontae Adams, and your big man like Goddard, who also had a really big game, 140 yards, I think.
Yeah.
10 catch.
Dallas Goddard was really good.
The Eagles have been doing this thing where we're trying to prove that he's a pocket passer, and oftentimes he's in the pocket where the pocket collapses on top of him rather than him quickly eluding it and making plays on the run. Okay. Going to the left, he's not good, but going to the right, he's decent. So I'll just say like much more to be seen. The turnovers, even in this game, were like the Devontae turnover was like a trust play. Wrong, right read, wrong player. But still more to talk about. Like, let's talk about the
players.
So.
I guess we can move to the game of the week. The game of the week in the NFL. Right. The Ravens hold on for a 28-25 win at the Dallas Cowboys. I didn't see a lot of this game because I was handling some stuff personally at the time. But from what I could get from the bit I watched and the long extended highlights after, I have to shout out King Derrick Henry. I believe Derrick Henry is going to be a big part of the Baltimore Ravens once they make it to the postseason. I like how he's gradually being integrated into the Ravens offense. I know there are a lot of people that believe Derrick Henry is someone who like you should just like put in like an I formation, like just let like an offensive formation that is just like focused on like running, right? And not making him like just like picking and choosing type, like when he gets to run and when he doesn't get to run. Like just like use him as your hammer constantly. But I don't think that's how John Harbaugh plans to use him, right? But the season is still long, right? We'll see how that develops. But let me get your thoughts on the game, Yinka.
I mean, it was a good game. I watched the first half. Didn't see the second half. Like after I watched the first half, I was like, the game is over. So realistically, the way it ended up being so close, I think big issues for their defense.
Yeah,
I think there was. There was a weird call that was supposed to be safety, but they made it like a Dallas kind of.
Oh, yeah, where Dak threw the ball. Right?
Yeah.
Like in the end zone, in their own end zone, yeah. Yeah.
But realistically, their defense, like they had like Dallas recovered an onside kick. There's just some stuff that happened that, again, the Raven fans were 0-2 for a reason. Like they won this game, but I don't know if they. The cracks are all paved over.
Okay, sorry, just to point out, a safety for people who are not familiar with the NFL, right? A safety is what the way you have like scoring an own goal in football, right? Like that's what a safety is. So basically, if you score against yourself, right, is a safety. Or if you are deemed to like score against yourself, it's called a safety, and the other team gets 2 points, basically. Yeah. So you can continue.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. Like there's a lot more that they need to resolve. Like, yeah.
Okay. So for me, both teams are now 1-2. Right, after three games in the NFL, like your record is basically like your wins and losses, right? So when you hear me say Ravens are 1-2, it means the Ravens have won one game and lost two, right, out of three games, right? So I wouldn't say like the alarm bells should be ringing, right, for the Ravens, especially, even though their next couple of games, I know they're hosting the Bills and they're going to play against the Bengals at Cincinnati right after that. The tough schedule is, this is the first game out of three back-to-back big games, right? So still work to do for the Ravens. But the Cowboys, I don't know where to start, really, right? But in their last three home games, and I'm including the playoff loss against the Green Bay Packers, the Dallas Cowboys have allowed a total of 120 points. This is at Jerry World, by the way, AT&T Stadium, the stadium of the Dallas Cowboys, right? They have allowed 120 points. And there is a constant that anybody with eyes, right, can see that the Cowboys simply have no answer for teams that want to constantly run the football. Like they just run it down their throats, get down the field, and there is no answer. They changed their defensive coordinator this season. Mike Zimmer replaced this guy who went to the Washington Commanders to be their head coach. Why is his name escaping my mind? If I remember, I'll mention it. Mike Zimmer is a good coach. I don't think he's a bad coach. And like, I definitely think like the problem with the Cowboys isn't the coaching, but the personnel. Like, yes, they have some good players in there. And yes, I know Trayvon Diggs, their cornerback, came out yesterday after the game on Twitter and said, yes, he should have made that play. I think he was referring to the first down conversion that the Ravens got at the end of the game to kill it. Fine. But I don't think you losing 28-6 in the third quarter is down to you not making one play. Like, you guys simply couldn't defend against these guys. We saw Alvin Kamara go for what, 4 touchdowns against you guys just 1 week ago in the same stadium. And today you concede another 4 touchdowns. 2 to Lamar, 2 Derrick Henry. Like, come on, guys. Like, when are we going to start asking for better defense? Like, Cowboy fans, please, like, you guys should chill on the dark. You guys should chill on the dark slander, right? And I'm just going to bring up this graphic here, right? Comparing the performances of the two quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson for the Ravens and Dak Prescott for the Cowboys, right? Lamar finished the game with 12 or 15 passing attempts and a total of 182 passing yards, 1 passing touchdown, 1 rushing touchdown, 14 carries for 87 yards rushing. Dak Prescott's passing wasn't great. Yes, a lot of incomplete passes. He finished with 28 of 51 for 379, right? He made a lot of big plays towards the end of the game. But I've heard someone call those kind of plays empty calories, right? Like, yes, you're making big plays, but it's too little, too late, right? The game finished close, right? 28-25. But that is because in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys outscored the Ravens 19-0, right? They were losing 28-6 at the end of the third quarter. Like, that has to be down to defense. Like, come on. Like, yes, you guys ended up making stops at the end of the game. Yeah, you didn't let Baltimore score, but what were you guys doing for three quarters, right? Like, so that's part of what I'll see on the Dallas and Ravens game. Also, I think we have to bring up Dak Prescott. So for those who don't know, Dak Prescott signed a $240 million contract over 4 years, which means he gets $60 million a year annually. And out of the $240 million, he has $231 million guaranteed, highest in the league. He's the highest paid player in NFL history. And I believe strongly this season that he's going to show a lot of people why they paid him that money. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are good enough to win the Super Bowl, but I don't think that's going to be down to Dak Prescott. So, yeah, I think that's a good place to end my Ravens Cowboys talk. Jimmy, do you want to add anything?
I mean, just we'll see. We'll see how it goes. At least Lamar had some good completion percentage. So, yeah, I told you by the first half, I was already done with that game. Like, it was, again, it's more against what the Ravens done. No big ups to Dallas or anything like that. They are just all hype.
Okay. So, we're not going to speed things through at this point. For those who don't know, the Ravens sorry, the Eagles are division rivals of the Dallas Cowboys, by the way. So when you hear Yemeka spewing hate towards the Dallas Cowboys, just know, yes, it's personal.
There's no hate. We shall know how we are not in the same level. So it's like Arsenal and Man U, like,
no
do
problem.
I, like, no there's problem. Rivalry, but is it really
no
big?
Problem. No problem. No problem. No problem. No problem. So yeah. Moving on. Bryce Young benched by the Carolina Panthers. Yemeka, do you want to start or I should start?
I'll start because, again, I think this is another non-subject because we sure saw that the Carolina won. She just has this agenda for all these big first overall draft picks. And, you know, again, we talked about Caleb. There's no need for it to be discussed because there were other draft, number one draft quarterbacks, first round draft quarterbacks, that we didn't talk too much about. The Denver guy. But the point I'm just trying to make is that there's a lot of story behind being drafted first overall or in the first round as a quarterback. And
yeah.
If you look across the league right now, the top quarterbacks, none of them are really drafted high up. The Dak that he was talking about was a fourth round pick. The Jalen Hurts that I was talking about, second round pick. The Mahomes that they were talking about was really first round pick.
The hottest QB right now, though, in the league, arguably is, like, in terms of output, right, based on the results of the first three games, right, is the Vikings guy, Sam Darnold. He was drafted high.
Yeah, but Sam Darnold is a journeyman. Like, he's already been thrown away by he was drafted by the Jets. So the point I'm just trying to make is that it's irrelevant until they are relevant.
He's going to help me make my points.
Make your point. Because again, we're just feeding into what I don't like. The fact that we're talking about the first.
I'm going to make it as quickly as possible, right? Great. Andy Dalton, right, replaced Bryce Young yesterday, and the Panthers happened to win their game. Right?
It didn't happen. They demolished the team that they were playing.
Pass for 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. Okay. Fantastic. 26 out of 37. Fantastic. Okay. 0 interceptions. Great. Great. But I still believe that the Panthers did not do right by Bryce Young.
Sorry to interrupt you. I just need the audience to know that this isn't the status quo that Shea was doing before. The status quo was the O-line for the Panthers is trash. That's why Bryce Young is not good. But continue.
Bro.
Now suddenly, the Panthers are not
suddenly they remember.
Suddenly,
the Panthers O-line remembered how to block. Like, yes, I know. Okay, fine. Bryce Young doesn't read the game as quickly. Blah blah blah. And the Dalton is better at reading defenses, reacting. Okay, great. But it all boils down to what I think, which is the franchise did not do right by Bryce Young.
This is a new narrative.
No, it's not. I'll give you something, right? CJ Stroud at the Texans, right? You can say he's an anomaly, right? In that he did so well in his first year. That doesn't always happen, right? They had Tank Dell, they had Collins, right? Who did they go and add in the offseason? Another weapon, Stephon Diggs. Caleb Williams has who? DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. They drafted Romo Dunze, right? Another weapon. Their O-line is still not great, right? But you have to understand that, like, this guy, this is his first year in the league. You can't, like, he obviously might need more time than more experienced like pros or veterans, like however you want to refer to them, right?
This is second year.
Yeah, but I'm referring to his first year, right? Because I'm going to tell you, so like in the last 10 games that Bryce Young has played, right? In the last 10 games that's other than yesterday's game where Young didn't play, right? The last 10 Panthers games, right? The Panthers have only led the game for 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Do you know how bad that is, bro? Like,
bro, how are you? Please, can you explain how this is linking to the Panthers? Because you're saying a lot of stats, but you're not linking it back to the Panthers.
Like, the like, you go and draft a quarterback high, right? Is he Jesus Christ? Is he just going to come and save your franchise because he's talented, because he's good? Like, you so need to
why
put pieces around the guy.
Brandon,
you need to protect the guy.
Why did Andy Dalton
I mean, like,
take that same franchise, same team that you said has so many?
Did the Falcons not draft Penix? Did they not draft Michael Penix Jr.? Is it not Kirk Cousins that is playing every week? Like,
but again, one of the things that, and sorry, audience, we always do, we have this reasons why we started this podcast, because we always argue over things, and this guy always brings rogue comments that don't link up together.
Okay.
He came and made a pure statement, right? The reason why the Panthers are not doing well is because they didn't do right by Bryce Young. They didn't put wide receivers. Those are what he was naming.
No, I'm saying the reason
they didn't
why
put together a decent old line.
Calm down, bro.
No,
don't
I'm,
get me
I'm,
wrong. I'm like I heard.
But
what
my
you
simple
said,
statement
and I want
is just this.
What you said,
they took.
You misunderstood me, bro. It's not like, I mean, yes, the Panthers not doing well, great, but like I'm saying, the reason why Young seems this way, bro, like is. Like, I don't believe he was set up to succeed.
Again, I'm not disagreeing with you, but that is not, that has nothing to do with the Panthers, is my own hot take on this.
Okay.
It's very simple, right?
You believe he's trash?
No, Bryce Young, when he was playing in college, right, played in Alabama. Literally everything was the best of the best. All these top players that you're seeing in the league right now, they played under him, the O-line, the wide receivers. And what he was playing under in a condition was where he had hours to throw the ball. And part of that hours to throw the ball in college football, if you touch anybody as a cornerback, you get a flag. So it was very elusive, like easy throws. He's coming to a league where people are getting jammed up. The defensive line is crashing on him. They're looking to sack him. And this guy doesn't
get you don't get drafted that high if your team is good, by the way.
This guy doesn't This guy doesn't even know how to stand underneath to receive the ball. Like, please, like let's call a spade a spade. For me, we're wasting time even talking about this guy, because what you just proved, or what you proved by all the points we are talking about in Andy Dalton, is that he took the same garbage team. Andy Dalton, that is a journeyman that has been everywhere, still carried them to win one game. Has everything to do with the player.
Experience matters. Experience matters.
100%. 100%.
Exactly. You just like, 100%. I mean, like, it's the same thing in like regular football too, right? Well, like, honestly, I'm just going to drop this, because we can talk about this thing for the next 30 minutes and I'm not going to agree, because I don't believe that guy's trash and I believe he was set up to fail, and I believe that if he moves somewhere else where conditions are better.
But do you realize that this is literally to end this segment, because
yes,
do you
let's end this.
You made a comment about the team wasn't good, that's why they drafted up high, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that every single team that drafts a quarterback as their Lord and Savior always ends up in the same position? The Jets that we're talking about, they did it before. The Vikings that we're talking about, they did it so many times before that. The Chicago Bears that you were highlighting literally just did it two seasons ago.
Yes, with Fields.
Okay.
And look at him now, 3-0 with the Steelers.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to explain to you. It has nothing to do with the team or anything like that. If you're being drafted as a high number one draft pick, you only have one thing, boom or bust.
Okay.
Simple.
Okay.
Simple.
Okay.
Baba is a bust. Okay. Doesn't know how to step on that.
Okay.
Doesn't know how to receive the ball.
Not segueing too far from the topic. Just some quick college football games that we watched over the weekend. Yimika, do you want to talk about any of them? Or
I mean, the USC Michigan game was just a slugger. Yeah, I mean, Michigan found a way to win it at the end, but to be honest, that game was actually really boring. I'll be very real with you, that game was really boring. We might as well just talk about the only interesting game that we have listed here. And I think we have some cool stuff to show.
Yeah. So you guys can see, you can see that Buffalo in my background. Yeah, Colorado. The University of Colorado welcomed Baylor, and it was honestly one of the best college football games I've watched in a while. Started off easy. Shador, easy rushing TD. Everything was all nice and good. 7-3 lead. And next thing you know, the Baylor kick returner returns a kickoff for 101 yards. Like, bro, literally got the ball from inside his own end zone and ran untouched for a touchdown. Like, bro, I've never seen it. Like, anyway, second quarter, down by 2 touchdowns. Colorado's O-line is still shaky. Shador has to keep escaping the pocket, you know, to make plays here and there, like bailing them out. But I hope he doesn't get too used to doing that, because I don't know how that's going to translate to playing in the NFL. But yeah, I don't want to talk too much about the game. So basically, at the end of the game, right, at the end of regulation, Colorado needs a touchdown to send the game into overtime. And with literally no time on the clock, Shador Sanders just goes and does this. Watch. Whew. What a catch. That's LeJonte Wester, by the way, the guy who made the play in the end zone. Like, bruh, he was sleeping and he caught that ball. My God. Like, I mean, when your dad is prime time, like, I guess these are the things that we just expect. Like, we just expect these clutch plays from you, right? And yeah, so the game goes into overtime after that, because that catch basically helps them with 6 more points and Mata, their kicker, converts the 1 point attempt. And in overtime, they just Colorado gets the ball first, send it down the field, and ends up just running the ball into the end zone. And yeah, to be fair to Baylor, they tried, right? Got the ball into the Colorado red zone as well. But, and I know this one is going to pain you, Mika. But the only two-way player I know that intends to be a two-way guy when he gets into the NFL, Travis Hunter, on the cover of EA College Football 2025. Makes a play literally in the end zone, like on defense. he tackles the running back and the guy fumbles the ball, and yeah, the game is over at that point. So yeah, congrats to Colorado, by the way. And yeah, moving on, European football is back. There were some Champions League games played last week, most notably Bayern beating Dinamo Zagreb by 9-2. And for some reason, Dinamo Zagreb decides that's a good time to fire their manager. I know some Manchester United fans that wonder why Erik ten Hag lost 7-0 and was not fired, but please leave your thoughts in the comments, right? And we'll respond. Yeah, I don't think there were too many games that caught the eye.
And the Arsenal barely escaped away with a 0-0.
Yeah, 0-0. City Inter was a good watch, but yeah.
Yeah, I already talked about that assets. In terms of like their midfield. Like, no, seriously, like, if there's one thing I can say, like, try and watch Inter this Champions League. I really think that they are going to compete for the actual trophy. They are very good, very balanced team.
We'll get to that. We'll get to our picks. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll get to our picks. Well, I mean, we're there now. We might as well. So I guess.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not saying that they're there to definitely win it, but from a full team perspective, like, sorry, Bayern is not going to be able to do this. Bayern always does this with all the small teams. You have your City who are. They're relevant, but at the same time, like, City is not the same because they really didn't do the job this transfer window. Their midfield hub is definitely lacking, and Foden is not going to run it back. Hot take. Red flags, maybe. And when I say run it back, I mean, like, be the dominant player that he was last season. Like, he's going to still play well and score goals, but he cannot bust the midfield. And we know Kevin is getting in age. Rodri's already has a ACL tear, so they don't have that solidity in the midfield. Arsenal, like, as much as I like to back my team, this has never been a competition where we've been steady at.
Bro, have some faith, my guy.
It's not about faith. I'm talking based on, bro, I'm analyzing things. I'm not using emotion to talk.
Okay.
I'm analyzing it. Okay. We've never had a culture of being competitive in this league. And this is even when we had the invisible team. So please, it's not now that we're up there. We're hopefully going to be part of the top eight so that we don't have to do any row, crazy NFL style.
Reduce the number of games you have to play overall.
NFL style elimination, whatever, or playing tournaments that we're trying to implement in this Champions League. By the way, that new structure, we'll see, is a joke, because I don't know why we're going to be playing Champions League after the new year or into the new year.
As I said in the previous conversation, like, it's just a way to have more teams in the competition and, like, have everyone play a minimum of 8 games as opposed to when it used to be playing a minimum of 6, right? So some teams, and there wouldn't be anybody dropping down from Champions League into Europa League the way we used to have it, right? So, I mean, we'll see how it develops. We'll see how
that was also part of, like, the intrigue of the Europa League. Europa League right now is going to suffer as a league. But again, I don't work for FIFA or UEFA. I just watch it and give my red flags here and there. The point I'm just trying to make is that this Champions League, we'll see. There's no clear favorite. Like, Liverpool can be a dark horse and come back. Doubt it. But there really isn't that. That's why, for me, Inter looks solid, because they have that stability from, like, a defensive to, like, a attacking. Like, they are nice. They are well put together as a team. But who do you have as your own?
Man, for me, I will never put my money against Ancelotti and his Madrid. Like, until I'm sure their juju has expired. Like, bro, I'm just, like, till I see reason to believe otherwise, just without any over-analyzing, I'm just going to put Madrid there as my top team to win Champions League. Well, I mean, the English teams there, City, Arsenal, you don't believe in your team, so why should I? Right. But I think your focus, Arsenal's focus this year will be Premier League, so I can understand.
I'm not giving a shout out for Aston Villa now. They can make things happen.
Man, John Duran is balling, but good luck to them, man. Good luck to them. Emery Ball. I mean, he has a good record in Europe, but that's Europa League. Like, if they were in the Europa League, yeah, like 100%, I'll put them as favorites to win. But yeah, for Europa League, I don't see any reason why, like, and this is like objectively speaking, right? Like, I see no reason why Manchester United cannot win that, right? So I'll just back my boys. I'll back my boys to take that one.
Again, they've made it so much so that if you guys don't win it...
The fact that nobody is dropping in, right? Just
that's what I'm saying. Which is just like, it's just dead. It's just a dead competition.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, come on.
They've watered down that competition.
Come on, those Turkish guys always give United a hard time. I'm scared of...
We're not worried about what United can do. And I'm saying that the competition has been watered down based on the fact that it is now no longer a competition of... The second best of Europe versus the best of the champions, like the unworthy,
basically.
Yeah, I mean,
I get that as well. And I think, oh yeah, I forgot to point out, there was a graphic I showed earlier that showed a wrong result between AC Milan and Liverpool. Yeah, it ended 3-1 to Liverpool. Just thought to point that out.
Corrections.
Yeah.
We'll get those graphics updated next time.
Yeah, for sure.
Triple checked, double checked.
For sure.
Yeah, what else do we have?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
We can't not talk about what we think is a very good contender for the greatest miss ever. Like, I mean, you guys should just take a look for yourselves and decide. Like,
so this is like a
Ebu Adams. A great footballer in his own right. Like, you guys can just have another look at that. Like, come on.
I don't even know why he kicks it here, though. He could have taken another touch if he needed it. But
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. But I think they still won the game, though. So.
So this is actually meant to be a pivot for what I termed as the misses of the transfer window, because there are, again, a lot of hot takes that I have on how some clubs were doing business. I already started talking a little bit about it in Man City. My personal belief was they needed to go and get the heir apparent to Kevin De Bruyne. Between Wirtz and Musiala, we shall know one of them is going to end up in Man City. We shall know it. They are not both going to be in Bayern. Like,
yeah,
please.
I think it's very sketchy how, for some reason, like, Bayern still are not able to agree a contract with Musiala.
Okay, and we shall know. No, I mean, I'm adding that as one of the ingredients of this. Yeah. Is a telltale sign. We shall know that Kevin is on his last legs. Baba wanted to get the check in Saudi. Saudi didn't want to give him that check. Okay, that's another one. We already talked about how Foden, that one was an anomaly. The fact that Foden is rated higher than Saka in FIFA. Sorry, 25. Hot take. That's some bullshit. Yeah. That's some baby back bullshit. But the point I'm just trying to make, Man City is getting up in age. Bernardo is 30 now. Like, their team is no longer full of their youthfulness. Like, they definitely need to reshuffle. They definitely need to add some youth and injection of new creativity.
Savinho and their pipeline. City
We also look at someone like Arsenal, as good as they did in terms of getting Calafiori, good defensive cover, getting Mikel Moreno as a good central midfield cover. I think that they dropped the ball again on the attack. You can see that Arsenal is desperately needing some type of attacking flair up top or in the wings. Like, we pray that Martinelli has a better season. But again, we shouldn't be praying for things. We should be guaranteed that we have number two, number three option to come and compete.
Get Jesus now.
Okay. We have Man U, who definitely did their job, like I highlighted earlier. They've done magnificent to rebuild their squad in a very short manner. I still very much think
still that... Still building.
And that's where I think that they've sort of put themselves in a corner. Like, Shea is going to talk a little bit about how a lot of these deadwoods are going to go. Maguire, Lindelof, who else am I missing?
Like, you said it, so I don't need to say it.
But I'm saying, who else am I missing? There's one more guy there.
Eriksen.
They're all going to leave. But my thing is...
I've been hearing some nonsense rumors these days because Eriksen seems to be playing well. That maybe they are considering giving him a new deal. But please, God. Please, God.
Okay, Eriksen or not, I think they made a mistake getting Xerxes. Because Xerxes, although he's playing pretty well, is not a striker. He's not a forward.
Yeah, but he can play with Højlund. The coach said it himself. Again, both of them can play together.
And what is the formation or the tactics that your coach is trying to implement with these two guys? You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know. That's they've just gone into the transfer market and bought best available situation, not necessarily building for what they want. That is the only thing that I can praise Arsenal for, because they always buy players based on who they want and what system they want to run. Chelsea, we shall know that now everybody for sale, now everybody an option to be bought. It's gelling a little bit, but I think this is just early days. We'll still see them in the trenches because that midfield is atrocious. Atrocious. Like, I'm sorry. Enzo is literally the most overhyped player. And unfortunately, that my guy that I was mentioning was playing pretty well for Inter. Hakan Holio. I might be butchering his name.
Çalhanoğlu.
Çalhanoğlu, yes. I mentioned him in his top five midfielders, and I just feel like that's actually a disgrace for him. To watch football and think that Enzo is top five in the world is a disgrace. It's an actual disgrace. But again, he can have his view and his perspective. You already talked a little bit about Barca, how they're doing well, they're playing well. I mean, they didn't do too much business. They just got Omo. We see him on right.
Yeah, I think he's already injured.
That's what I said. Right medical bench, right? Okay. Yeah. So that's the team that's going to compete with Real Madrid. That we shall know how deep their squad is. Even without Camavinga, nobody is. There's no. We're even thankful that Camavinga.
Bro, they are not even missing the beats. Like, they are not skipping anything, bro. That's
what I'm saying. They're even thankful that Camavinga is injured because. Almost like they won't have the opportunity for
less selection headache, like
exactly. Bayern, like that would say, is looking like a good signing, very fluid with the attack, very good option. Low key, AC Milan did a good job bringing in guys like Tammy Abraham, bringing guys like Fofana, bringing guys like Emerson Royale. So, again, the Italian league, they've just been doing low key. Good stuff. Inter got Zielinski for free. They brought in.
Don't worry. When we get their coaches, we'll bring their players in. Wait to wrap up, by the way.
Yeah. But this was just some quick runarounds of the transfer window. I don't know if there were any things that you wanted to add or I missed out on.
Nah, me, I'm good. Like, I've made my peace with the window, and right now I'm really just more interested in seeing how the season develops. And hopefully players stay fit, because I mean, this schedule, yes, I understand. I see a lot of players complaining, right? Oh, the amount of games, but sorry, it's not everybody that likes their job, right? But you get paid, and you guys get paid more than regular guys, so it's just suck it up do your job.
Facts.
Oh. Right. I mean,
they still get paid even if they're injured.
Bruh. Like, so yeah, I think it's a good place to wrap up and just thank you guys for listening. Yeah, we know it's been long. So just we'll keep trying to bring the content to you guys at least once a week as much as we can, right? And yeah, so just enjoy the rest of your week, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, don't forget to throw some hot flags, some red flags if you have challenges, our thoughts.
Yeah, definitely
need to be discussed or engaging. So yeah, appreciate you guys and have a good week.